Read Hebrews. I failed to have it on your paper. You might want to write this on your paper right there at the top. Hebrews 12:22. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm glad you're here. Let's just read Hebrews 12:22, and then I'll read to you from Ezekiel. We're going to talk about the angels tonight. We're going to talk about fallen angels. There's two categories of angels. There's angels that followed and stayed with God, and then there's angels that followed Satan. The Bible calls them devils, calls them evil spirits. A lot of times, and Brother Phil showed me this over a year ago, many times we call them demons. But do you know the word demon's not in the Bible? Demon is not in the Bible. That's right. Phil Howard showed me that over a year ago. But they're called evil spirits. Now, I don't, if you call them a demon, you know, what's demon, Democrat, same thing. I mean, no, let me say, no, that was a slip. you know I'm having fun. They're fallen angels. And they're called evil spirits. They're called devils and things like that. And so, but these ones we're going to talk about tonight are the fallen angels that followed Satan. And I'm going to take you right back to the fall of Satan and things that happened afterwards. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But ye are come, how many got Hebrews 12, 22? But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. How many angels are there, preacher? There's so many you can't count them. They're innumerable. There's so many you can't even count them. And so I don't have the count. I know more stayed with God than went with Satan. But no matter what, there's a lot on both sides. Are you still with me? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, dear God, that we can take the Word of God and study the Bible. Help me be a blessing as we study tonight. Help us have ears to hear and a heart to open up, and help us to learn from this teaching of your Word. And I ask your blessings on everyone here tonight, and be with Annie Saylor, Lord. She's not feeling good, and I pray you'll touch her body and heal her up. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you would now, look at your Bible sheet there. We're going to talk about Satan and his fallen angels tonight. And we're going to get into the beginnings of Satan. We're going to start in Ezekiel chapter 28. If you have Ezekiel chapter 28, I'm going to read to you verses 11 through 17. And then we'll do some commenting on this. But if you have Ezekiel in the Old Testament, chapter 28, verse 11, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." He's given a description of Satan, of the devil, of Lucifer. When Satan was created, he was a perfect being. He was the most beautiful creation of God's creation. Look at verse 13. By the way, he was in the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve was. "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." How many see verse 13? "Every precious stone was thy covering." Look how beautiful Satan was. Watch how many things it said about him. Every precious stone was a covering. Sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold. "The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created." In other words, not only was he beautiful beyond measure on appearances, but he had built-in musical pipes and stuff like that. When you talk about tabrets, it's like a tambourine. He could make all kinds of beautiful noises built in. Johnny was created that way. So he could, Betty, he could sing. He could make beautiful noise. I mean, sounds and musical, instrumental. Beyond comprehension. He was a very special being. God's finest in his creation. Are you still with me? Notice what it says. Thou art the anointed cherub. Where have you seen those cherubs before? Well, you saw them in the Garden of Eden when God kicked Adam and Eve. Who protected that so they couldn't go back in the Garden of Eden? It was the cherub. There's a ranking. Did you know that? Well, hello, are you still with me? When you had the mercy seat above the Ark of the Covenant, what was above there in made in gold? Cherub. Are you with me? And so, notice, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou, look at verse 15. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Boy, Satan is nothing but violence, murder, liar, evil. Everything that stems from evil comes from him. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled with the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Watch verse 17. Thine heart. He got prideful, Brother Eddie. Boy, I'm going to tell you, me or anybody else, watch out, because pride will take you down. Amen. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Remember, Eddie, he had when you read those scriptures, he was full of wisdom, verse 12, and it was the most beautiful thing God had made, Katie, but it went to his head. Notice, thy beauty, thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. You know what? I was thinking about the rapture in heaven the other day. And I was thinking about how the Bible says in Daniel, we're going to shine as a firmament of the stars. I was thinking about, how many ever think about your glorified body? Let me give you a thought. When Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments and spent time up there in the mountain with God, when he came down, the people couldn't look upon his face. You know why? The brightness. He was in the Shekinah glory. Are you with me? They actually had to put some, because he was so bright, they couldn't look upon him. Are you with me? Now, you ever wonder about the Bible says we're going to start, and Daniel 12 says we're going to shine like the firmament. Think about this. When we're with Christ through all eternity and up in heaven, not just Moses' face, our whole bodies will radiate light. I wonder, and that's something he calls us, the light of the world. And the Bible says in heaven there'll be no sun, because Jesus will be the light. That's why it says let that light shine. You know why? Because we're going to be brilliant. We're going to glitter in heaven. Just a thought. Look at that verse again. Can anyone say amen or oh me? Amen. Thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness, I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. And I'm going to tell you right now, you say, when's it? It's coming. By the way, you read in the Corinthians and you read about in Scripture, the principality of the air. When you read about the principality of the air in this world, that's not God. That's Satan. Satan's the principality of the air. Hello? He got kicked out of heaven. How many are still with me? Well, look at your paper. If you'll note verse 13, he was the most beautiful thing of God's creation. Look at verse 13. Thou hast been an Eden of garden, every precious stone of covering. All the beauty, you girls love diamonds. You girls love different, your earrings and your different rings with different beryl and emeralds and topaz. How'd you like a body covered with them? And it was part of his body. Woo! Hello. He didn't have to go to Jared's. God already made him a Jared, okay? Jared would go to him. And he was the most beautiful thing in God's creation. Verse 13, he had amazing musical abilities built into his body. He had pipes and tabrets. He could make beautiful beautiful music, sounds. You know, and can you imagine how, before he fell, can you imagine the beauty in heaven of him making the sounds in heaven? You know, a lot of times, how many just like to hear like a music or just soft music? No singing. And it doesn't even have to be a Christian song, although I prefer Christian song. But you can just, if you could just give me, we go to Dr. Wilhelm, a chiropractor on Route 18. Oh, he's a great doctor. He's real smart. And I know he's a born-again Christian. And they always have, his mama's the nurse there. And she always has real soft music playing. A lot of times it is Christian music, but not always. I mean, sometimes it's Amazing Grace, but if not, it's always soothing and comforting. Can you imagine you're talking about the greatest creation that God had made, how beautiful those pipes sounded. Hello? And how, what's the word, serenaded? No doubt the whole angelic host. When they would meet out in eternity, called them the sons of God. That's where angels were called, sons of God. Think about that. You know, we don't think about stuff out there. We're just so used to getting up and watching the news and reading the paper and going back to bed. We don't think about past or future, amen? But the Bible says to read and to think on these things. So notice, he had, in verse 13, he had amazing musical abilities. He had built-in music pipes and tabrets. Verse 14 said he was anointed cherub. He was the highest one of all the cherub. He was the highest one. And verse 15, he was perfect when he was created. Look at verse 15. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created till iniquity. Till iniquity was found in thee. I'll tell you right now. It's sad that sin always has to come, doesn't it? Till iniquity was found in thee. And it wasn't God's fault. If you'll see verse 17, you'll see what happened. Because thine heart, look at verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Oh my. In other words, hey, look at me. I'm something to look at. I'm number one. I'm going to tell you, the only one that's number one is God. He's everything. We're nothing. See, Satan forgot who he was. Satan forgot that he wasn't God. He was created by God, for God, for God's pleasure. You know, we forget that many times. Sometimes we think, well, we know more than God. No, we don't know more than God. Trust me, we're not even, his thoughts are way above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways, Isaiah says. But notice, because of his beauty, he let pride enter into him. I want you to hold your hand there, or put a marker there in Ezekiel. And I want you to see Proverbs. Satan, because he rebelled against God, not only did it cause Satan to have problems, but it caused a lot of angels to follow him. He took down himself. Look at Proverbs. Look at Psalms, Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. And if you look at verse 19. No, No, that's not what I want. I want six, chapter 6. But let you know what? Why we're there? That God's so good. Look at Proverbs 16:18. I didn't have that plan. The Lord don't make any mistakes, does he? I think she typed it wrong, and I didn't catch it, but the Lord knows. Look at 16:18-19. Pride goeth what? And a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide thy spoil with the proud. I'm going to tell you, like, God really resists the proud. And that's what happened to him. Look at Proverbs chapter 6 now. And look at verse 16. And look at verse 16 through 19. These six things. How many got Proverbs 6:16? These six things does the Lord hate. He hates them. God says he hates these things. If he hates them, should we hate them? If he says they're an abomination, should we feel they're an abomination? If he says to stay away from it, should we stay away from them? Notice this. These things that God hates, seven are an abomination unto him. What's the first one? A proud look. And that's where Satan started to fall. He got prideful. A proud look. And it's amazing. When you get pride, you think you're better, and you start spouting off your mouth. What truth don't come out, lies do. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief. Boy, it's all evil, isn't it? A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. This is what Satan did in heaven. He lied. He made false witness. He had a proud look. He had a heart to devise wickedness. Because when we get done with this section here, I'm going to take you over to Isaiah 14. And he said the five I wills. He tried to overthrow God. But notice a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief. Do you ever notice how people are always in mischief? Boy, they're always getting into mischief. It came from Satan. Notice what? A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. God hates that. Satan went around and he stirred up that whole angelic host. Hey, why are you following him? I'm better than him. Follow me. Follow me. And believe it or not, some of them believed it. And he got his followers. You know, and I wrote this down in your paper. This evil of discord among the brethren, it stems from Satan. You know, I say, look up here. Let me give you some truth. Let me help some of you for now and in the future. You know what destroys most churches? Not the outside. The outside doesn't destroy most churches. It's the inside. It's the inside. It's the backbiting. It's going around and causing going around and talking to people and trying to cause trouble. Hey, the preacher did this and preacher did that and preacher did this. And all you're really doing is one thing, you're lying. One thing and everything you're doing, you're trying to stir up the crowd. You're trying to cause discord among the brethren. And you better mark it down. You that are doing it, God's got your number. I don't have to do a thing. He's got your number. He'll be coming to you real soon. Because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But I thought about the ministry. No wonder preachers quit. No wonder preachers give up. No wonder preachers throw their arm up. Because now that they got to fight the devil. Now that they got to fight the fallen flesh. Now they got to fight the world. But they got to fight the congregation inside their church. They got to take on those who are, you that sow discord among your brethren. You're following Satan. Going to family. Hey, did you hear what he did? Trying to stir people up, trying to cause discord. God's got your number. God's got your number. Go, help yourself, baby. Calling people on the phone, trying to get people to turn against the preacher, the associate pastor, or the deacons, or the choir members. God's got your number. Satan. And then you say, I'm walking with God. You're a sorry, sickening mess. You're not walking with God. You're deceived. See, Satan thought he was walking with God. He got those angels to believe it. Hey, God don't know what he's talking about, Sean. Follow me. I'm smarter than him. I'm more beautiful than him. I'm better than him. He don't know nothing. What they do, he caused heaven. He caused a riot and havoc in heaven. And now he came down to earth. He can't destroy the church because it's God's. But what he does, he gets in people. And by the way, they're not all saved people. A lot of them are, most of the time, they're lost people. In disguise of saved people. They could be members, but really, they've never really been washed in the blood. They're kind of like Judas. They walked with us, said they were of us, kissed Jesus on the cheek. But Jesus said, then I pick out 12 of you, one of you's a devil. And I guarantee you there's devils in every church. And it really keeps your dad knife sharpened, David, because I can't let up because I've always got, and for me, I've got to really stay close to God because I have a bad temper. And I let the flesh take me. But see, I've learned something. When I go in the flesh, then Satan gets the victory. You say, why doesn't the preacher retaliate? Why doesn't the preacher stop these? Why don't he do something? I don't have to. I have a God in heaven that is going to make everything right. And truth always comes out. What's amazing, these people that cause trouble, and some of you have been trying to cause trouble in this church. You know what I'm talking about. You're on God's list. And I don't have to tell you because God will be knocking at your door. Calling people up and trying to cause trouble, trying to turn them against this church. Shame on you. I know one thing. I know who's, and think that you're walking with God. Let me tell you something. You're letting Satan. You're in the steps of Satan. Don't put on no halo in front of me. You're like the Bible says in Corinthians. You're an angel in light. Bible says that Corinthians, no marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Not everything that portrays to say they're Christian and light are light. I got thinking about our country. What time is it? Because I got to get this done sometime tonight, Rod. But I thought I'd get this out of my gut so I'd feel a lot better. It's good teaching, by the way. It's really good teaching. You want to have a strong church, you better teach people the truth. Thought about our great country, Jack. I was talking to Rosie about America today. We had those tea parties. All over America, they had those Boston tea parties. And by the way, I'm glad for them. I didn't get down to Canton. I guess that was the closest one we had here. Had it not been raining, I think I might have went. But I was glad to see on the TV thousands of them. And I said, you know what's happened to America, Rose? America wasn't Russia. Khrushchev years ago took his shoe off. You remember Khrushchev back? How many back in the 60s? Any? And he said, the Russian leader said, "We won't have to send a missile. You'll destroy yourself." And America is crumbling today. They're crumbling because we're getting what we deserve. because Christians haven't spoke out, preachers haven't spoke out, preachers been sandbagging and worried about what people say and worried about people leaving their church and getting mad instead of preaching the truth. So we've let fundamentalism be silent, and now there's no prayer. Now we're letting queers get married, and now, you know, now, did you know on the list? Did you know that your preacher's on the list for Obama right now? They passed a thing yesterday for the Homeland Security Act. Anyone that opposes abortion is a detriment, a danger to America. Those who oppose abortion. And I'm going to oppose abortion until the day I die. It's murder. We're on the extreme. We're on the far right extreme watch list. Those returning servicemen from Afghanistan and Iraq, they're on the watch list. They're extreme list. We're getting what we deserve, because if we'd have been preaching, and Brother Billy, if America would have been standing all these years and say, no, we're not going to let those liberals take the Bible out of church. We're not going to let the Bible take the Bible out of school. We're not going to let them take the Bible out of courtroom. We're going to keep prayer in, and just took a stand. And by the way, before people took the prayer out of the school, they quit praying in their house. Before they took the Bible, the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse and stuff, they took it out. The people quit reading it. And now, Eddie, America's going to get what she deserves. Unless we have a revival, Brother Billy, unless there's a spiritual revival that goes through this nation, I mean a spiritual awakening, Brother Ray, that this nation comes alive. Brother Bobby, the hope for your little girls and my grandbabies and your kids' grandbabies, the only hope, Brother Jack, you and Judy got for your grandbabies is that there's an old-fashioned, I mean, Holy Ghost, heaven-sent-down, power-anointing revival that sweeps all through America, where people get on their knees and say, oh, God, I'm nothing but an old rotten, backslidden sinner. I've let you down. I've let this country down. I've not stood for right. I've been wrong myself. And forgive me and bring repentance. That's what's going to save this country, Carl. And without that, there's no hope. And I told Rosie, I said, you know what? There's a grassroots starting again. And most of those people you see, not all of them, but I believe the majority of those people you probably saw out and if you watch TV today, most of those, Johnny, are probably born-again Christians. I'm not saying they're fundamental Baptists, but I'm saying a lot of them are born-again some Christians, professing Christians. How many are still with me? See, the way you corrupt from within. And that's why a preacher see, I was telling the deacons last night, you can beat on me all you want. Really. I'll never come back at you. You can lie about me, you can yell at me, you know, do anything you want against me. And chances are I'll never retaliate. I'll just keep loving you. And that's the truth. I'll pray for you. And I don't care if you did anything bad. If you need me in the middle of the night, I'd still come and be with you and beg God to heal you. That's the truth. God knows my heart. But I was telling the deacons last night, I said, when people attack my church, you see, I'm the shepherd of these sheep right here. Then you're treading on ground that God's told me to protect. And I'm going to tell you right now, some of you are messing with my church. I'm giving you warning from God. You better listen to this old man. Satan didn't, and he's getting destroyed. Boy, it's quiet in here, Brother Jack. Well, notice, look at Isaiah chapter 14. You say, boy, preacher, I can't believe you did that. Oh, you'd be surprised what I'm going to do. You know, I'm just sick of sin. I'm sick of people being crazy. I have people tell me that when they've sinned, I'm wrong because I've called their judgment. That's why we're in a mess, Brother Phil. Preachers won't call sin sin. It's wrong to go after another man's wife. It's wrong to do stuff like that. It's wrong to drink alcohol. It's wrong to take drugs. It's wrong to go into pornography. And when it affects the church, I'm going out and trying to stop it. And by the way, I'll be honest with you, I'm glad I went to that doctor. Because I'm feeling better than I have in years, Eddie. You thought I was sassy? You ain't seen nothing yet, buddy. I am feeling so stinking great. You know what my sugar was today when I woke up, Betty? 95. And I even ate me an Oreo cookie before I went to bed. I watched those deacons all night eat those stinking Oreo cookies. And I didn't eat one of them. And there was one cracked one no one would pick up. And I said, I'm not going to throw that thing away. And I ate me one. I mean, I got the white filling in it too, boy. I only had one, though, just one. But, boy, I savored it all the way. I did like Brother Heil said. These mama used to tell him, chew 46 times before you swallow. They were so poor when he was a little boy, Jack Hiles. They had nothing to eat. He was lucky to have a potato a day. And so his mama, because not only she'd make him go to bed before the sun dropped, but whatever little bit that they had to eat, she'd make him chew 46 times before he swallowed so it would last longer, so it would be, hunger pains wouldn't be as bad. You know, and then I got thinking too, would you folks listen to me? I'm not your enemy. I love you folks. And look up here. You got to get what I'm trying to give to you. Let's not fight one another. Our country's going down. People are going to hell. Jesus is coming back. You don't understand. This, and by the way, it didn't start with Mr. Obama. President Bush sold us down. He had a double defect before Obama ever came in. And the Republicans did. It's not just the Democrats. It's the whole lot of them up there. And I'm telling you right now, America, you better listen to me. There's an hourglass. We better keep supporting our missionaries because pretty soon they're not going to be out there being on the field because they're going to be forced to go home. You remember I say these things. Eventually, and I told Rosie, I tried to prepare Rosie today. I said, honey, someday they'll come and get me. I don't know how to protect you. But I'm not going to quit preaching. I'm just going to keep on letting it fly. But one day, I hope you're safe. It won't matter because when it comes, it's going to come. But I would try to save a little, put some back some water and put some durable goods that could last for a few weeks. But someday you're going to see some devastating things here. It's coming. You say, boy, that guy's nothing but a doomsday preacher. I can't help it. I'm like Jeremiah. I'm the weeping. I see it coming. It's coming. And short of a national revival, it's going to come sooner than later. And look up here now. Why would we as Christians want to fight one another when our world is out there perishing? Who's getting the victory when we're tore up inside here? Who's getting the victory? Satan. Because he wants discord among us. He wants you to hate me. He wants you to be mad at me. Listen, it's Satan. Can't you recognize it's not God, it's Satan? Look, read Proverbs 6 again. You'll see all those things in there, lying tongue, mischief, going about, causing discord. He's got you doing it. It's stemming from him. Don't say God's behind it.
Right there, God said it's an abomination. Matter of fact, he said, I hate.
I didn't have that plan, but I thought I'd get it out. So you see in the beginning, in Isaiah, in Ezekiel, he was the most beautiful thing that God created. And look at Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah 14, rather, I'm sorry. Look at his fall. Look at 12, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Look at this. I will exalt my throne. You know, it's always my way. I'm going to get my way. You ever notice that? My throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation. The sides of the north, because God reigns in the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. How many see those five I wills? Look at God pronounced judgment. 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to the hell, to the sides of the pit. Yeah, that's his eternal destiny, the pit, and all those that followed with him. If you'll notice in your verse there, note the five I wills. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. I will sit upon the mount. I will ascend above the heights. I will be like the Most High God. Did you notice that? I, not God, God, God. Then look at number 3. Judgment for Satan and his fallen angels follow him. Removed from their place. They removed from their place and their positions in heaven. In Luke 10:18, it says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, you'll note that there's a war in heaven, and God kicked Satan and his angels out of heaven. Can anyone say amen? And God's reserved a sentence of judgment for Satan and his angels, eternal damnation. Isaiah 14:5 says, thou shalt be brought down to hell. Look at Matthew. You see, hell wasn't made for lost people. Look at Matthew 25:41. Real quickly. Matthew 25:41. Hell is made for the devil and his angels that followed him. Look what Matthew 25:41 says. Then he said unto you, them on the left hand, depart from me. By the way, if preacher's not doing right, then go on and get on your knees and beg God to help me. Don't go out and try to stir people up and cause trouble in the church. And, you know, people come to hear the word of God, and lost people come. If the spirit's quenched here, you'll stop people from getting saved. You'll give Satan the victory. God will speak to me. I'm not perfect. I'll admit I'm the first one. I'm not perfect. Just pray for me. God will show me. He does. He reaches me. If I don't listen, he has Rosie talk to me. She's worse than him. She's harder on me than Eddie knows. Eddie knows. He'll tell you all about Lizzie. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed what? In the everlasting fire what? Prepared for the devil and what? His angels. Those fallen angels that followed him in the rebellion up in heaven years yonder, way back. When he caused that uprising, that discord, they were pronounced judgment. Now some are down in the torment right now, but some are waiting for when they're cast in the lake of fire. Notice, what's the scripture I have there for you? Look at 2 Peter 2:4. 2 Peter 2:4. By the way, God, you know why God called me though, Jack? I don't quit. I don't quit. You can beat me up and knock me around. As long as I got breath in me, buddy, I'm still pawing in the valley. A lot of preachers, they just succumb to it. Not me. Because I can't stand losing. I hate losing. Man, I'm glad I'm going to heaven. Amen. Those that go to hell are eternal losers. Wouldn't that burn you up? Think about it. Look at 2 Peter 2:4. 2 Peter 2:4. Do I have that right? I do. Just got to get the right Peter. 2 Peter 2:4. For if God spared not the what? That sin, but cast him down to hell. Right now, they're down in that center of the earth right now. Remember, there's Abraham's bosom in torment. Torment still got people in it. They're waiting for the lake of fire. All lost people are down there right now waiting for judgment. Saved people, they were in Abraham's, but now saved people up in heaven to be asked from the bodies to be present of the Lord. Abraham's bosom was just waiting for Christ to die for us on the cross. Once the blood was shed and paid, price paid, they made a way to go to heaven. But the lost people and all those angels, they're down there. They're not all angels, just these that sinned. They did a special sin. Notice them that in the chains of darkness. Look at reserved for judgment. Look at Jude. Look at that little book of Jude right before Revelation, verse 6. Look at verse 6. And the angels, are you in the little book of Jude? I believe 2 Peter 2, 4 and Jude, verse 6 are connected. I believe they're talking about the same angels. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved into everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And that great day is when they get thrown in the lake of fire. By the way, we won't turn to it, but I've got it on your paper. I believe 2 Peter 4 and Jude verse 6, Brother Billy, I believe it's referring to those sons of God that came down in Genesis chapter 6. Those were angels, and they took on a form of a man, and they habitated with women, and they had babies, and that's why you had those giants. See, they left their habitation. How many are with me? Look at the last judgment. And look at Revelation chapter 20. And I'll quit. It's five after. Look at 20:10. This is Satan and all of them. And the, Revelation 20:10, and the devil that deceived them were cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's their eternal abode. Next week, I'm going to show you, we're going to talk about what are angels like. What about angels? I had to give you this little history about them before I taught you it. And so next week, we'll talk about lesson three, about what are angels like, what do they do, things like that. Pretty interesting. Yes, ma'am. All righty. Let's stand for prayer. I'm glad you came tonight. Hope you're enjoying these angel lessons, man. I got at least three more. I think there's going to be three more already. I'm trying to do just three, and that way you won't get tired of angels. You say, well, I've learned all those things. Come anyways. There's always something. There'll be a verse, or there'll be a thought that preacher will get. And let me say this to you. Lizzie, I might even say something that you know, but while I'm talking, the Holy Spirit might bring to your mind a whole different thought. You say, oh, wow, I never even thought about that. And God will give you something even while I'm talking. I might not even say it, but he'll like, I've had preachers be preaching, and while they're preaching, I'll actually get a message. I'll start getting some thoughts. I'll say, oh, man, I never thought about that, you know. And they didn't even say a word, but they made me think of something. Isn't God good? Let's love one another. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, 31, 32, let there be no wrath, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Give me that verse, Eddie. Read me that verse. It talks about let no wrath be once named among you. We ought not hate each other. We ought to love each other. Give me Ephesians 4. I don't have my glasses on, Eddie. Ephesians 4, 31, 32. 31, I believe it is. Ephesians 4:31.
Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
Yeah. Read that 31 one more time.
Let all bitterness, and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
Yeah, and then verse 32. Right. You know, God's forgiven me so much. I ought to be forgiven. I ought to be able to forgive somebody else. Well, Peter said, if I do it seven times seven, Jesus said, Peter, seven times 70, 490. I think if you forgave someone 490, you think you'd forgive them 491 and 492 and 490. In other words, Jesus said, you ought to have a reservoir of forgiveness. And the trouble with us Christians many times, we don't put up no reservoir of forgiveness. And we let anger and wrath and bitterness, boy, bitterness is a sin that destroys, not only does it destroy the people around you, but it destroys you. The worst person with bitterness is the one that has it. The more damage is done to the person with bitterness than the people that no doubt that are inflicted around with it. But the one doing the inflicting is a sufferer more than anyone. Sometimes you say, boy, that preacher was pretty harsh. No, I'm just trying to help us grow in grace. It's time that we quit being little babies. We're running out of time. We better reach people while we can. And if we're bickering back and forth one another, Satan's getting the victory. Let's have some love and kindness for one another. Let's not let Satan get the victory at Bethel. God's really blessing this church. Satan's fighting this church, man. I'm telling you. I told the man, I said, man, something big's going to happen here because, man, he's throwing every arrow he's got. But put on the full armor of God. Okay, Eddie, lead us in prayer. Yes.
Lord, you've blessed us so much. And Lord, I'm just asking for mercy. Lord, I pray, Lord, you bless our church.
Yes.
Lord, bless our preacher, protect him. And
yes.
Be with Brother Dave and his family, Lord. And Father, we just ask, Lord, that we just get together in one accord. Put our differences aside, Lord. We have one cause, and that's to tell people about Christ.
Yes.
Lord, that's what we should be doing. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you'd unite our church together. Lord, we work as one, as they did in the book of Acts.
Yes.
So we can see people saved.
Yes.
So we can have this country turned around.
Yes.
If we just do what we were supposed to do. And Lord, I pray you bring us back again on Sunday. Lord, give us a good day. Lord, we have a good crowd. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless each one of you.